from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Stephen Cuevas. This week, we're reporting on deaths in San Diego County jails. In today's story, KQED's Julie Small and Lisa Pickoff-White speak with families whose loved ones killed themselves or died from alleged neglect and are now turning to the federal courts for help. Here's Julie with more.
Many of the people who died were especially vulnerable. Our analysis found 30 of the 73 people who died in San Diego County jails between 2010 and 2015 suffered from some kind of mental illness. Too often, the county didn't take enough precautions.
I felt like they just didn't care about this person that was just there, just lying there unconscious or whatever, not checking on him. I felt like they just ignored him.
Lydia Nunez says her son Ruben suffered from schizophrenia. He got in trouble with the law when he threw a rock through a car window. He was too ill to stand trial and had to be sent to a state mental hospital. Doctors there also discovered he had a condition that caused him to want to drink massive volumes of water. He was in San Diego Central Jail last summer, awaiting a routine legal hearing. And exactly what jail staff knew about Ruben's condition when he arrived isn't clear. But he was put in a cell with a toilet and sink, says Jean Iredale, an attorney suing the county on behalf of the Nunez family.
By placing this man in this cell where he had access to water, you were putting his life at risk because that's what he did. He drank water, and he drank water, and he drank water.
A guard found Ruben vomiting in his cell. A nurse visited shortly afterward to administer his regular medications, then left him alone. An hour later, he was found unresponsive, drenched in vomit and urine. Lydia Nunez says the county must be held accountable.
I don't want it to happen to someone else. It needs to stop right here now, you know, because people are dying in the county jail and nobody's doing anything about it.
The Nunez lawsuit alleges that the jail's failure to limit Ruben's water intake proved fatal, and that this neglect was part of a systemic failure within the sheriff's department to provide adequate health care for inmates and to investigate deaths in custody. Other families have also sued, resulting in $6 million worth of settlements. Civil rights attorney Chris Morris represents three families whose loved ones committed suicide while in custody.
The cases come, and they come regularly. They come through the door once. A new case every couple months, it seems like, of somebody else who's died in jail. And it's really staggering and sad.
San Diego officials have declined repeated requests for an interview for this story. The sheriff's department has taken steps to reduce the number of suicides in jail. In 2015, the department adopted new policies to better identify inmates who may try to kill themselves and to place them in safety cells. They also installed barriers to prevent inmates from jumping from the tiers. But Morris and others say there are breakdowns in communication and not enough training.
They can house the inmates all day long, and they can discipline the inmates all day long. But what they can't do is monitor for these medical and psychological problems adequately.
The last thing this psych nurse told me, "Don't worry, Mom, we'll take good care of him."
Rochelle Nishimoto says she recalls how she told a jail nurse that her son Jason had schizophrenia and had attempted suicide multiple times. The day before, her 41-year-old son was taken to jail after he scuffled with his brother. Jason had swallowed a bottle of pills, and his brother Adrian says he was trying to keep him from driving off.
The condition he was in, he was like the drunkest man you've ever seen. His attempts were not in any way going to hurt me.
The next morning, Adrian went to visit Jason at the jail. Three deputies escorted him inside.
They said, "Your brother died last night of an apparent suicide."
Jason Nishimoto had hung himself from an air vent using his bedsheet. His mother wants to know why he wasn't being monitored.
Bottom line is they blatantly ignored their own policies.
Rochelle Nishimoto has heard nothing more from the jail or the sheriff's department. Earlier this month, she sued the county for Jason's death in federal court. She says it's the only way to prevent more deaths.
It would be much easier, less emotional for me to let it go. But then this little stubborn streak comes up. I say, how dare They neglect my son. How dare they?
San Diego isn't alone in seeing more inmates with mental illness in the jails. And attorney Chris Morris says there are lessons for other counties.
When you see this abject neglect of signs and symptoms of mental health, juries are not turning a blind eye to that anymore. And I think counties across the state have to kind of come to grips with the fact that they're going to be held accountable for people who die in jail needlessly.
Jails throughout the state are grappling with an influx of offenders with mental illness. Changes to state law that shifted responsibility for low-level felons from state prisons to county lockups have resulted in more people staying in jail for longer and needing more care. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small in San Diego.
That story was reported with Lisa Pickoff-White as a project for the California Data Fellowship, a program of the Center for Health Journalism at USC. And if you're curious about how your county jails are doing, check out the interactive that our digital team created at californiareport.org. And that's the California Report for Tuesday, August 23rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. From KQED's Los Angeles Bureau, I'm Stephen Cuevas. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Healthcare Foundation, dedicated to a healthcare system that works for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. The James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.